Princess Celestia, the Changeling Queen, Chapter 16, Part 2. Lunchtime. Lamia groaned as she limped down the corridor. Her mind was so full of terms, suggestions, ideas, and none of them seemed to fit with each other. All throughout the morning, her mother and Celestia had discussed about when and where would changelings be allowed to use their disguises within Equestria, and by discussed, Lamia meant exchanged glares, spoken polites, but barbed tones and insulted each other under their breath. Admittedly, her mother had done most of the insulting, but Celestia had quite a few cloaked statements that had really dug into Chrysalis's carapace. Despite her initial misgivings, Lamia did like the conference building. To her and her mother's surprise, the place where Celestia had matched wits with so many different species was actually an old keep in the center of the base. Inside, though, the keep set itself apart from the other stuffy old castles with its light, but not drafty air. It was also artfully decorated with simplistic old light fixtures and pendants that adorned the wall and various well-embroidered tapestries of ponies and various species meeting one another. On her way to the bathroom, Lamia spotted great landscape paintings of peaceful meadows and silent forests. Perhaps it wasn't the most grand structure, but the decorations were pleasant and didn't impose or intimidate. It was a place that welcomes negotiation.
Lady Lamia!
As steadily as she could with three legs, Lamia began to turn herself around to face the pony who addressed her. But as the changeling tried to hop her front leg left, she slipped. Lamia cried out in dismay as she slammed into the floor face first. The changeling grit her teeth at her ignominious position, the pain in her snout, and vainly tried to raise herself off of the floor. But without her left leg to support her, Lamia kept rolling to her left. That is, until she felt a warm body press against her left side, stopping her from rolling over. When Lamia glanced aside to identify her helper, though, her mouth dropped open and her heart stopped.
"I can't help you up on my own, changeling," growled Shining Armor.
Lamia nodded mutely, and with the unicorn's help, managed to struggle to her own hooves. The moment Lamia was able to stand, Shining Armor stepped back quickly. The silence that immediately settled in between the two was like a great sticky smog that clung to their skin. It made them want to run, but the air seemed too thick to even breathe. All Lamia and Shining Armor could hear were their pathetic attempts to try to fill the void of sound with awkward swallows and taps. Neither of the two wanted to speak first, but the silence soon became unbearable.
"Thank you, Captain Armor,"
said Lamia. She paused for a moment, wondering how to address the stallion her mother had so horribly manipulated.
"I know this must be hard for you. I'm afraid I can't offer anything other than my condolences for what you suffered."
Shining Armor was taken aback by this apology from Chrysalis's daughter, yet somehow his emotions that were in complete turmoil began to relax.
"Thank you, Lady Lamia, but I was just doing my job."
Shining Armor took a deep breath as he wondered what to say next. Alternia had explained the circumstances for Chrysalis's attack and how she had been forced to do so because her hive was hungry, and although Shining was furious and very wary of the Changeling Queen, he couldn't deny the reasons behind her attack. Besides, while the Changelings hadn't held back, they hadn't killed any of his guard either.
"And I do, to an extent, understand your mother's action. After all, as Captain of the Guard, I know the demands of duty."
Lamia was quite surprised at Shining Armor's statements, and at the same time rather heartened. Not to mention, the Captain didn't even blink at her injuries, a luxury that she didn't even have in her own hive.
"With such honor, it's no wonder you're Captain of the Royal Guard,"
said Lamia with a hint of a smirk. Shining Armor chuckled at the compliment, but was unable to stop his shame from seeping onto his face.
"Thank you, but I think we can all agree that my guard's deployment at Canterlot was substandard."
The Changeling shrugged.
"You didn't expect an invasion, and we kept it that way. Your deployment would have been highly effective for a small intrusion and any terrorist attack. Not to mention, our forces took longer than anticipated to subdue your guards. If I hadn't planned the assault personally, I think you would have managed to rally and overwhelm our hive,"
said Lamia. Shining Armor narrowed his eyes at Lamia, his muscles tensed.
"You planned the assault on Canterlot?"
Lamia winced, and if she had a spare leg, she would have put her hoof to her face in exasperation.
Yes. I was trained by my mother to lead the Hive's army, so I did plan the assault."
The unicorn frowned at Lamia, obviously annoyed, but the changeling could feel the unicorn's admiration and see his grimace.
"Well, I can't deny that you did a good job of it. Tell me though, how did you manage to secure the Royal Guard barracks?"
asked Shining Armor. The changeling queen winced.
"It wasn't easy. It was one of the major rally points in the castle, and I knew it would be well defended. Thus, I made it a priority target, using the surprise of our invasion to take it as speedily as possible while the guards were occupied with my other forces. For as Shizu said, loot the house while it burns."
"You've read Shizu's Art of Warfare?"
inquired Shining Armor, and Lamia nodded earnestly.
"I infiltrated an Equestrian military academy and, borrowed some books,
said Lamia. She groaned inwardly again as Shining Armor glared at her. This was not going across well. Another moment of silence settled in between the two.
Well, let's see what you've learned. Come along,
said Shining Armor curtly. Lamia was confused, but the captain's tone hadn't been unfriendly. So the changeling followed the unicorn until they reached a lounge. The pair sat down on two comfortable velvet couches, a coffee table between them. From below the glass coffee table, the captain levitated a box illustrated with battling ponies and a single bold title across it.
Is that Stratego?
Asked Lamia. The game was a classic equestrian game. Each player had a set of pieces with various ranks, and the higher the rank of unit, the more powerful. And more powerful units could kill enemy units of lower ranks. However, neither player could see the ranks of the opposing pieces unless two pieces clashed, which meant that positioning and deception were key to winning the game. To make matters more deadly, each player had spies and bombs that could kill higher-ranked units.
Yes, I suspect you know how to play this.
Lamia nodded. She had brought several sets back to the Changeling Hive on one of her trips to Equestria. She and her mother had played against each other for long hours on end, her mother usually winning. Shannon continued, interrupting Lamia's thoughts.
They say that tacticians best understand each other through the battlefield. I don't completely believe in that saying, but since we can't seem to talk without stepping on each other's tails, perhaps a game would be a better idea,
said Shining Armor.
Then you better bring your best, Captain Armor. Changelings are masters at deception,
chuckled Lamia.
Oh, I intend to,
said Shining with a polite smile. After deploying their troops, Shining flipped a bit to the side who would go first, and Lamia won the first move. The two began to move their pieces between the board's two lakes and confront each other. To Lamia's pleasure, Shining Armor was a very good player. After Lamia managed to kill some of the captain's lower-ranked pieces, he forced an attack that broke her into the side of the board. Unfortunately, she had set up a trap, with her mines or bomb pieces that destroyed several of the captain's higher-ranked pieces. Graciously, the unicorn merely grimaced and quickly retreated his remaining forces. Now on the offensive, Lamia poured her units into the side of Shining Armor's board. Just as she finished one of her moves, though, the captain broke the silence.
How many casualties did your hive suffer when my wife and I cast our spell?
Asked Shining Armor quietly. Lamia bit her lip. She could remember the halls littered with wounded changelings and the sight of many drones who would not fight another battle. An unbearable cloud of sorrow and disappointment had soaked the hive in the days in the aftermath of the battle, and Lamia couldn't forget about that, no matter how hard she tried.
Many won that fight another day. Luckily, we had very few deaths. Changelings are tough creatures, after all, and those that died were the ones that were already very old and on their last legs,
murmured Lamia.
I'm sorry for your hive's loss,
said Shining sincerely. The changeling growled a bit, startling the unicorn, but then she sighed resignedly.
I can't begrudge you for trying to defend yourselves, but I remember my hive's despair, and I can't help but hold that against you. And you ponies.
Lamia swallowed suddenly. At the beginning of the discussions, Cadence, Celestia, and Luna had informed her and her mother that while they were going to launch an investigation, it would be kept under wraps for now, and they hadn't told any pony but Blueblood. Chrysalis had been very annoyed, but Lamia had managed to persuade her mother that secrecy was necessary. Despite her own worries and anger, Lamia always tried to keep a brave front for her mother, to act as the one to calm her down. However, there were times when the young changeling noticed the empty place where her left leg was supposed to be. Moments when she looked in the mirror and wished that she was beautiful again. An instance where she would be consumed with fury at the pony who maimed her.
I'm sorry, Captain Armor. The fact that your leaders are giving us an opportunity to make amends, despite my mother's actions, is generous enough. I should have no reason to be angry at Equestria, but I am,
said Lamia, pushing aside her anger. Hopefully the unicorn hadn't been offended. Her mother and her hive need not suffer simply because she had made a bad impression.
Don't be sorry. Your injuries are from unicorn spellfire, aren't they?
Asked Shining Armor calmly. Lamia started, almost falling off the couch, and gasped at Shining Armor, who didn't even flinch. The unicorn captain simply met Lamia's bemused stare with reassuring and understanding eyes.
I've seen my share of wounds, both from the academy and from my tour of duty. While I may not be as powerful as my sister Twilight, I'm still a skilled sorcerer, trained by Meringue Lepi, and I can identify spellfire wounds on sight. The degree and control of this damage is only consistent with the unicorn's magic.
Shining Armor narrowed his eyes slightly, his jaw set in a grim line.
Tell me, Lady Lamia, who did this to you?
A patrol from Baltimore attacked my entourage when I tried to parley with them,
stammered Lamia. Horror engulfed Shining Armor's features, and the unicorn leaned forward to examine the injuries more closely. Lamia trembled slightly at the captain's intense gaze. But after a long moment, he groaned and fell back onto the couch, resignation clear on his face.
I don't want to believe you, but you haven't given me a reason to disbelieve you. What's more, your injury's severity indicates that the curse is a powerful one. One that can only be cast by a unicorn with advanced arcane training or equestrian military training. It would also explain why your mother attacked without negotiating. We need to take this to the princesses,
said Shining, standing up. Lamia shook her head and gestured to the unicorn to sit down.
They and your wife already know. Their agreement is to catch a perpetuator was one of the reasons that we agreed to negotiate.
Shining Armor frowned, winced, and promptly face-oved.
Oh, and I guess they didn't tell me because I was acting a bit like an ass.
But you've been acting like a perfect gentle colt,
exclaimed Lamia.
I was on the edge for a while after I was told that we were negotiating. It was Cadence who told me to at least give you a chance. Guess I know why now, said Shining Armor ruefully.
But it was you who decided to listen to me,
pointed out the changeling.
Yes, so I did.
The two smiled at each other.
By the way, my spy kills your marshal.
Lamia stared at the stratego board and gawked at the fact that Shining Armor had just assassinated her highest-ranking piece with a spy. Not only that, but she could see that he had a scout right in position to make a run at her flag.
All right, I surrender. Have fun with the fact that you beat an adolescent as stratego. After all, the same adolescent handed you your guards their flank at Canalot.
Snickered Lamia, and Shining Armor snorted.
That means nothing when it comes to learning strategy, and your mother hypnotized me, so the fight wasn't fair.
Then perhaps we should call it a tie,
Lamia suggested, and Shining Armor nodded and shook her outstretched hoof.
So, how about I introduce you to a favorite game of mine,
said Shining Armor. It was an hour later that Cadence found Shining Armor explaining to Lamia how to play a game of Warhoof Fantasy Battles that the captain had brought along to play with his buddies. The sight of Chrysalis's daughter hanging onto her husband's every word promptly dropped Cadence's jaw to the floor. That was very sweet, and it's good to see that moods are improving. Or well, at least on Lamia's side. Who knows what's happening with Chrysalis at the moment. But anyway, let's get on to our super sweet donators. Top donators, TacoCat598, Peter Coltard, Jayton Man, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, CrazyColor557, Stu Hex, Will, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Edge, RuneScythe9852, Leslie Prickett, Ponton Roman, Stephen Bingham, LineGod12, Iron Buster, Nikki Kruger, and many more fantastic people. Thank you all very much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.